Hello and welcome to the morning meeting. My name is Jimmy. Maddie is here with me. We are in our owner's suite studio. I was addressing the wrong camera. It's a one camera shoot. I was addressing the wrong camera. We are in our owner's suite studio here in Jersey City at the warehouse. And if you hear a lot of clatter behind us, that's because we have a team taking batting practice for their game today. And I can't tell them to stop. And so that'll be going on in the background.
Hopefully,
it doesn't bother you too much. We're in day two of filming Blitzball Battle 4, which will come out in February. And we're filming morning in the morning.
Yes. This is the second day of the regular season. So all the seating gets decided today.
Yeah. Some good matchups. But I won't tease it too much because it doesn't come out for so long.
Yeah,
which no. I saw some people getting upset about that on certain comments. I think when we announced, I think on the behind the scenes vlog on JJR, someone was really mad. Not really mad, but you know, they want to watch our content, so it's always a good thing. But they were like, why wait 4 months? It's like, well, we would have filmed this in December, but Peter Moylan, who's a must in my opinion for Blitzball Battle color commentary, goes to Australia next week. So we literally did it. We're like, what's the latest we can do before Pete leaves for Australia?
Yeah.
And then it was always going to get released at the same cadence of spring training. Mm-hmm. So we're filming a tournament next week that actually will air in January before this one airs. There's a lot of shit that goes into it. Sometimes now I start thinking about like how MLB sucks at making schedules and everyone always complains. And I'm like, oh man, the obstacles they go through is probably even crazier.
Definitely.
But also the power they have to just kind of squash those obstacles is even crazier. Mm. Like MLB would tell Pete, you're never going to Australia again, which they did. He played 13 years in the U.S.
Yeah. They did do that.
How are you?
I'm good. I have those Cocoa Krispies over there, which I am excited to eat after this. The fact that there's cereal this time in the warehouse makes me so happy. I'm a self-proclaimed connoisseur.
Ooh.
Despite our disagreements yesterday about Pops not being good.
Oh, they're a good sprinkler. I don't eat them. I always cut. I cut cereal with Pops.
That's the definition of not a good cereal.
No, they're great. They're a great addition. What are you going to eat, a handful of sprinkles?
No.
But do you like sprinkles?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Point proven, I win.
I like them, but I asked you, is that a good cereal? That would be asking, like, is sprinkles a good dessert?
Yes.
No, it's not.
They make desserts better.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The first thing that I wanted to hop into, because it's topical, was, this is so small. I can't read the names. Jay asked 5 days ago, and he didn't know this was going to be so topical, but any chance Cashman would come on Talking Yanks? Have you guys ever reached out to him? Feel like it would be a good off-season episode?
I don't think he'd want to do it, especially now.
Yeah.
We've chatted before. Cashman's pretty cool, a pretty nice guy. Like he reached out. He didn't reach out. We were in Vegas. The same day that I met Sam and Sarah and Jake and BBD met for the first time was Vegas Winter Meetings in 2018,
I'd assume.
December
2018.
December of 2018, going into the 2019 season. Mm-hmm. It was in Vegas, and I was walking the hallway. Oh, no. What's the story? So Jake and I were sitting next to the Yes setup. We were sitting along next to the Yes
table.
Yeah, like there's like mini studio, the remote studio. And Cashman was the guest. So we're just on the side, just kind of watching. Cashman joins. We're like a little in awe, feeling like we're wearing suits. That's how much we felt like we didn't belong, like we had to dress like them. And as Cashman departs the hot stove set, he just makes direct eye contact with me and says, I really like your stuff, and moves on. And I was like, what? Like, what? You know who we are? We weren't that big then at all.
Mm-mm.
What is this like at all? Jake saw it, and we were like, whoa, what is this? And then later on the Vegas floor, we walked past each other, and I just said, like, hi. And he said hi and said, like, you know, you guys are doing good stuff. Congratulations. And That was like one of the moments where I was like, kind of weird, almost in an, like I was like floating in an embarrassing way. You know, like I was like, kind of like, I remember we were with Sam and their friends and they were just like, you're just smiling. And I was like, that was crazy. Cause yeah. I didn't know that was in the cards, you know, but then it's, right. You know, a Yankees GM, he listens to Yankees podcast. He tunes in every now and then. So I think we've learned after the fact that he doesn't listen to like all the episodes, but he's got his, at least back then, apparently after the 2021 season, when they won 93 games and made the playoffs, we lost in the wild card, and everyone in the media said it was a bad season and not good, that he kind of closed off, and that's when they've become more defensive in their stance. And he had less like scrimmages with the media. He was a little less available just to be chatting all the time, and it's kind of turned since then. So, but we have, like, we invited him to come to some events at the warehouse. Like,
really?
Well, the mini golf event was supposed to be a big celebrity event.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God it wasn't, because it was 100 degrees in the warehouse and gross. But we invited a ton of actors, and a lot of people said yes. And then at the end, we were like, never mind, don't come. He couldn't because it was around the trade deadline. But we invited him to that. So we've had communication, not in a while. I thought about inviting him to our 1,000th episode. But
what are you on, 970?
It's going to happen in February, so around spring training. So vibes are better. I feel like that's a reach out and be like, you know, we want a big guest for our 1,000th episode. Do you want to come on?
That would be cool.
Or and reach out to Judge's agent and see if, like, we can go to Tampa and chat with Judge. That would be...
The two?
Yeah.
How?
If it...
Would he say yes?
I don't know why he'd say yes, and I don't know what you're going to do.
When Cashman said that stuff in 2018, you were just assuming that's all talking Yanks?
It definitely was.
Not breakdowns.
Definitely. Breakdowns, I didn't even start doing non-Yankees breakdowns. So they didn't really take off. But it was definitely
like the Yankees.
I think he's talking Yankees. I think he listens to podcasts. He hired the catching coach after listening to the podcast. He hired Cressy after listening to the podcast. Not after, but like kind of like got to know their stuff. So, so to answer Jay's question, have you ever reached out to him? Have him on? I don't think I've ever asked him to come on the show. Maybe I haven't. He ignores that, and then I reach out later. But yeah, we just talked about maybe, but now I don't know, because we just didn't like his quotes a lot. He doesn't listen to everything, so.
And a heads up to the listeners, it does look like Trev is going to take BP, so it's going to be as loud as it's going to be.
Yeah, it sounds like a cannon.
Yeah, him taking BP is different than Lou.
It's very different. 100 MLB home runs.
Yeah, obviously it's different, but it is very different.
No, it's crazy.
Okay. I wanted to move on because you had liked this message and said that it would be a good thing to ask or talk about. So Ben asked, you know, he had been seeing a lot of negative comments on our floorball too, specifically about some of the players' abilities. And that's kind of new to the warehouse YouTube comment section. Normally it's pretty positive. So he asked, invited creators are obviously important for channel visibility. How do you balance their presence with keeping a good level of competition? And what is your take on those sort of comments?
Yeah, he says it doesn't seem like the friendly competitive spirit Warehouse Games has established.
Yeah.
But is all engagement good engagement? And it's super interesting because, yeah, we had at floorball, we had a player that just got shit on in the comments the whole time. And he got shit on by the booth the whole time as well. So how we view this, and I thought it was a good question by Ben Taller, not Ben Smaller. And he phrased it like genuine curiosity.
Yeah.
Not like, I don't know. So, yeah, so I'll answer it with genuine answers. We have a motto in the editing room to protect our own. So if someone puts up, you know, if I'm very good at understanding what the comments are going to say, I've trained, not trained, but I've worked with Tom Prizman, main editor, to understand what the comment section is going to be. And I would say, don't feed the beast. You know, people will want to be angry and mean on YouTube. But if especially brand new channels, if you can control the first hour of comments, and those are people that have notifications on that really like you, then you can get a better handle. And when we talked to Joe Santiago about this, he said the same thing, that he monitored the first hour of comments, basically, because like, did you watch it or not? Don't just come trash it. You didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
We live in very much a tell me how to feel society. So you watch a video, you read the first five comments, and then you're like, and then you kind of agree. So yeah. So we've had a couple instances where we're like, just edit that out, man. Like, yeah, controversy and engagement's good, but that's just the only thing the comments are going to talk about is that, and they're not going to have, like, it's not going to be fun or, like, you know, talking about anything else, and a lot of other shit happens. So sometimes we do edits like that. We kind of definitely try to protect our own, definitely try to protect guests because we're inviting them here. They're coming, and we don't want them to just, like, feed them to the beasts. We haven't really had a problem like this, you know, and there's always some nasty comments. And also, as the community grows and the fan bases grow and people get more invested in the teams, like actually like a sport for them in a weird way, the comments will get nastier. I think all the players and the people that work for us that are in this realm understand that. And like, I actually get a kick out of it when people are super disappointed, like, well, the fuck would you throw that? Or like, why are you doing this? And are into the strategy. But yeah, this player, I mean, in the first couple games, we did take out some lines and some edits, but it became inevitable. A narrative in the booth, like, you know, Rose and Pavel, because we couldn't figure out if he wanted to be there, or not wanted to be there, or was trying, or was limited in his abilities, or what. So we couldn't dance around it that much. The comments were definitely mean, and that sucks. Yeah. But it's the first time we haven't been able to kind of protect a guest
completely. Yeah,
completely. So there's a little bit of a bummer. So the other part of this whole question that's interesting is because I think people always kind of ask about this is how do you balance the presence of keeping a good level of competition?
Yeah,
we have to get a little better at that, and next year we're going to be a little wiser, because people are like, Love Yous and Hook Line kind of got shafted where they didn't get great additions from the newcomers, where you know, and they probably needed a shooter.
Both of them
needed a shooter pretty bad. So like, Reagan Rust was supposed to be on Love Yous, but something happened that switched because we had two other people coming, and then that switched. So those other two people were going to be the girl player on Hook Line and Love Yous, and they were both pretty good. They both backed out like 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to scramble.
Yeah. We had to scramble.
And replace from within. So Courtney Kobus is kind of always a reserve because she works here and plays field hockey. And Sam's friend Sarah got, like, you know, a day before asked to join. We can't control when people back out at the end. It really, really throws everything into a fucking juggle. And we've had people back out almost every tournament at the very last second.
Not this one, but yeah.
Not this one, but this is all, yeah, mostly not a lot of newcomers because they're two-man teams.
Right.
But ball and play, we had someone back out, and we had a team that was just short, and then they had Luke's roommate came and just was like a body. BB2, we had someone back out at the very last minute, and basically they just don't get invited again.
Yeah. But also, like, specifically you're saying, like, oh, these teams needed the help and we didn't give it. We also don't really know the level of
talent. Oh, yeah, we have no idea. I mean, if DZ, Corwin, Jesse,
they're all the same.
I guess we could have done a little more research and found out. I think we knew Corwin was good.
Yeah.
But we didn't know Jesse.
DZ, I mean, all of these people we didn't.
Reagan, Chelsea, we have no idea how their game will translate to floorball, so it's hard to really balance it out. We're going to try and do a better job and try to have teams that have, like, priority. Like, this team needs the best goalie that we can find. This team needs the best shooter we can find. Stuff like that. But, yeah, you can't control people backing out. It does stink because you want it to be level, and I felt bad for teams that didn't have someone come in that was, like, you know, a stud.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just keep trying and keep learning as we go. But yeah, like even with like ball and play, we got six players from Major League Cricket. They're all professional cricket players. You have no idea who's going to be into it, who's going to be love it,
whose swing correlates better in this warehouse.
Yeah. Really, so yeah, they're games that people have never played. So that's always going to be like a little bit of a guessing game. But we'll try to do better at it.
Yeah, I mean, and above everything else, you say it all the time, this is like a reality show, you know, more than a sport sometimes, where, yeah, we have to make decisions that work best for the storylines and the content.
Another interesting part about the reality show or the entertainment part is we've run into this almost every tournament, especially blitzball, where people really try to play, is I get, like, you know, players texting me last night saying stuff like, you know, is it good? Like, you know, was it too boring? Mm. Do we need to do it better? And I'm like, you don't hear the booth.
Mm-hmm.
The booth is the voice of every single game, and they're so funny, and they're adding so much entertainment. Just play and be yourself and be goofy, because you're naturally all goofy, creative creators, people. Mm-hmm. And like, but like, yeah, that's always the vibe day one and day two of Blitzball Battle is like, I don't know, was that good content? So that's why I make the dailies. I have videos of game one and game two. I'm going to just play them on the screen during lunch and just have them like run. Mm-hmm. I wanted smart. To do game three and four. But yeah, it's always funny.
Another question that I thought was pretty interesting. Ooh. And
ooh, we almost had one come in the room.
I mean, it did come in the room, just got saved.
Yeah, hit the handle.
If one of us makes a catch during this BP, that would be the most insane thing. This was a interesting question, because I actually had the same thoughts as Austin when this was happening. It's number 7 if you're scrolling. He said, I was always curious about the initial spike in popularity of Immaculate Grid. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, they copied the idea of Jam Baseball, and wondered if you guys had any involvement. Was there any discussion about, you know, the IP and all of that?
We didn't invent the grid.
No, and that's, like, Jolly, when he came up with that idea, he said, I've seen this on TikTok a little bit, but nobody's done it long form. It's worked on TikTok, and I want to try it long form. So, in terms of IP discussions, no. You know, we didn't come up with that concept. And I think that it was very popular in soccer before Jolly took it to baseball, or, you know, whoever he saw on TikTok doing it first.
Isn't that funny, though? It's like how every generation, like, hears, like, a song, and they think that person is, like, sings that song. Like, what you say? My brother thinks that's not Imogen Heap. Who does he think it is?
Rihanna? Or?
No. Like, yes. The rapper that says his name a lot.
Oh, Jason Derulo?
Yeah. Did he do a song with that as the chorus?
Yes.
Yeah, so, like...
But he's not singing that.
My brother, who's 10 years younger than me, he thought his generation made beer pong popular.
Beer Die, yes.
Oh, not Beer Die. No, Beer Die wasn't popular. Beer Die was around when I was in college.
Oh. I thought the same.
Barstool had huge tournaments. Like, they would go Brownies Beer Die competition. No, not even beer pong. What I'm talking about. Icing people. Luke thought his generation invented icing.
This happened.
He's 10 years younger than me. I'm like... That was around when I was in college. Moreland's in the window. You're good.
Hi.
You want to join?
You want to?
This happened to me in middle school because I thought Aeropostal was like new. Oh. And I saw a picture from like the 1980s in the middle school hallway. And somebody was wearing Aeropostale, and I was like, wait a minute.
Abercrombie
and
Fitch is old. There was a fishing company.
Yeah, I know.
Like, let's be a racist clothing company for kids.
Do you want
to
sit here?
I have to tell you about cricket from last night.
I saw it.
Did you see it?
I watched the finish. I was distraught, and then I watched the end.
Oh, so you still have your heart in it a little bit.
I will watch.
Okay, Moylan has now joined the show.
Hi.
Color commentary, Moylan.
Yep.
I have the dailies from day one. No spoiling, because this comes out today.
Okay.
It's good. I was just telling Maddie that the players always like kind of text me or like reach out to me after day one of Blitzball, and they're like, is it good? Like, is it not funny? Is it not good content? And I'm like, you can't hear what they're saying up there.
Right.
They have no clue. They're the voice of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's good.
I don't remember what I say ever. That's the beautiful part of. I have to talk to Rosie a lot of the time and say, "Hey, man, was that real good, right?"
I think it's funny that athletes are always like, people are like, they remember everything. They can do pitch by pitch and all
I'll
that.
I'll tell you my bets.
Yeah, but I can't remember anything in here because it's the mall effect. You're just in here for four games a day. So when they come out, I'm like, oh, I had that hit.
That's why I enjoy watching them back so much. Yeah. Because I completely forgot everything that we've talked about. And it's so entertaining.
We were talking about, someone asked, how do we protect players or whatever, like from negative comments? And I said, in the edit, we usually try to like protect them as best we can. In floorball, we couldn't.
Right.
But you think anyone's going to need protection? You guys going after anyone up there?
No. No, not more than
normal.
Dan Rourke normally gets on a regular daily basis.
Yeah.
He's fine.
For what? Question number four. Ooh. All right, we have a question. Considering how many new cricket fans Jimmy has created, I would love to see JM Cricket / Talking Cricket someday. And then someone else said, and then they want to expand. The other said expanding the hockey. Think we should start a cricket podcast?
I think you're already doing enough for cricket. I think your excitement for the game has made everybody else excited about it in this country.
I think.
Why do you love it so much?
Well, it's similar to baseball, but different in the same way. So it's like.
Hold on. Can we write that down at the bottom of the screen? It's similar to baseball, but different in the same way.
Yeah. Like, all right. So yesterday, Glenn Maxwell.
Yes. In Australia, 100 and yeah, 200.
They were 7 for 91 or 91 for 7. Yeah. I'll say it the Australian way for you. And he scores 201 runs. That's the equivalent of Judge. Hitting
2 grand slams in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah. And a home run in the eighth. But then what I meant by like it's similar but different is like the physicality is similar, swinging a bat. What's different is, hey,
strategy.
Hey, you know how tired guys get during the home run derby? Well, this dude just did that for an hour straight.
Yeah.
And hit it. And then the 360 of it.
And Cummings at the other end was just like, the ultimate facilitator.
It's so much strategy of like, you know, so it's basically a pitcher and a hitter rotating. And the pitcher's job is I just can't fucking get out. And I just need to get a single or ride out the over so he can get back up.
Yeah.
And then he's on the field for so long, he's cramping. Did you see the moment he cramped?
Yeah.
His whole body seizes up. So it just goes like coffin mode laying.
And you're sweating for the whole time. There's no relief. You can get a drink to come in every 5
there's
overs.
No Gatorade, you know, home run derby, there's Gatorade.
Right.
And he's swinging hard because he's hitting sixes. So I like that, like, that's like, oh, what if a baseball player had to do this twist and even just standing out there for 8 hours?
If you could choose one sport that you had to watch and you can only have one of them, baseball or cricket, for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Baseball.
Okay.
I still like baseball more. I just, cricket's fun because I don't have to be smart.
Okay.
It's much funner to be dumb and ask questions to learn than to have people ask you questions and have to give answers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like watching Yankees baseball is very joyous, but sometimes when I have to study the rest of the league, it's much more work than enjoyment.
This is more of a, you can sit and relax. It's almost like your nonsense television.
Yeah. Yeah. And I put it on in the background. It's so long and it's on during the day when I'm up with the kids. That's why I like the India and the Australia time zones, because I'm up at 4 or 5. It's just background.
Yeah.
That's how I got into it. But now I think I like Team Australia a lot. So
they've been through some. Look, when I was growing up as a kid, Australia was the powerhouse cricket team of the world. It was the.
Yes.
It was like the Marshes and the Borders and then the Wars and then the Warnes and then McGraths and like Gilchrist.
Ponting,
we knew
that
Ricky
team?
Ponting. Yeah. We knew like, even Boone, like going all the way back, we knew every single player from the 90s all the way through to 2000. That was how we grew up. We played cricket. We were every one of those guys.
Yeah.
It's like everyone does now with baseball, but now it's kind of fallen away a little bit. I guess because I live here too.
The other thing that I've enjoyed is I listened to an Australian podcast called The Great Cricketer.
Yeah, I listen to that too.
Do you?
Yeah, I see their clips all the time.
They're open to today's episode because they're writers first, so they write their intros. It's really funny. Australia had a major power outage at the same time.
Optus has lost all their Wi-Fi.
10 million, the whole country went out. They're saying
imagine half the country has lost their cell phone service. I don't know which side it is, but
Yeah, well, they're in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
So Perth probably is good.
Perth's usually good. They just lock themselves away from everything.
Yeah, they're an island on an island. They so they've rejuvenated my podcasting the Yankees in a way, because I genuinely, like, they have made me more enthusiastic about watching, and then I want to watch, and then want to hear what they want to say, and then I go, oh shit, this is how people view us. So it's kind of made me be like, hey, I want to do a good episode. Like, if I tuned into them and then they were like as tired as I am sometimes, yeah, I'm like, that stinks.
Sure.
So, but it's cool to have someone facilitate your enthusiasm. So I get why people enjoy our shows now.
Excellent.
Yeah, they're good. We can't really talk about this that much.
No, we cannot.
To the top? Oh. Matty wrote notes.
Let's just say there was...
just typing. Just typing.
Just say there was some excitement yesterday. There was some excitement yesterday.
You love doing the blitzball stuff.
I do.
Can you explain to the audience why?
I can't, because it's when I explain it out loud, it still doesn't make sense to me that I'm watching eight random dudes run around and play wiffle ball in a warehouse that was built by my boss, and it somehow gets me emotionally. I'm invested in this shit, and it doesn't take long for the storylines to develop every year, and then it's fun to watch those for the rest of the tournament.
And I told you this after the last one. But you treating it real, like the play real, the players fake, is the best way to go.
It is so, like, real. Yeah. They're still playing a real game.
Looking at, like I listened to some yesterday, and you're just doing pitch mix and like this. And Jake and I had a moment where you're like, look at that. Sequencing is alive. Yeah. I was like, that's so funny.
Because there is times where you can, there's parallels between, even though these aren't professional athletes.
Yes.
There's still parallels in between, you can draw between the two sports, and I think that's what makes it as funny, because Rosie and I, we are into it.
Yeah.
Like, we are into it, and that's, I don't think I could do it with anyone else, because Rosie loves it as much as I do.
He's awesome. I mean, I know you, I don't know if you watched all of the floorball stuff.
I've watched the last
And then the cricket with Darren Sammy. So it's always Rose with an accent. Have you known that?
Right. Or a Canadian. We got a Canadian in there last time.
Yeah, but he had an accent, part and then Darren Sammy had an accent, so it's Rose and a foreigner.
That's fine.
And, we were worried because Pavel never done commentary. You and Darren Sammy done commentary, and he was great.
He was great.
And hockey's so much different because it's nonstop, so they had to like find their lanes.
And
better.
He got his moment. That's what I'm pissed about. I mentioned that to you straight away. Pavel, the Pavel power play.
Well, you were supposed.
Got me so jealous.
He was supposed to be on a team in Blitzball Auto 1. It was supposed to be you and my brother Luke, and you. I was going to dress you up in
Australian green
baggies. Cricket players.
I would have loved it. And I'm telling you, if it's. Luke and I have had conversations about the potential of what it could mean, and we keep having these conversations.
He's pretty good.
I know.
You know, but you know, he's not content, and my sister,
right?
You know, she's on the business side, and she'd be mad at me. Now he's gonna play. We have something new that they don't know about that he'll do in the next year.
Okay. Do I know about part of it?
I don't think. Maybe not.
I'm out of the loop as well.
Yeah, I could tell you about it, but some of the office player people will be involved. Yeah. Anything else? Going to Australia?
I'm going next Monday. So, yeah, I leave here Friday.
Are you managing? Or are you coaching? Or
pitching coach.
Pitching coach.
Managing was a lot more than you think it is, especially at that level. I thought to myself, I can do this. I was pitching coach. It's just a little few more extra responsibilities, but it was just nonstop. It was nonstop. Dealing with housing issues, dealing with just things that I didn't have time to deal with. You know, I work in the lead up to the season. I don't have time to scout and recruit. So I just wasn't giving it what it needed. And as pitching coach, I can still show up next week and hit the ground running and be ready to go.
You can institute a lot of sidearm?
Yeah, everyone, it's the...
Why don't you try to lower that arm a little bit?
Tie their neck to their shoulder so that they have to actually drop down and throw from that angle.
So as a pitching coach, what... Is mindset, sequencing?
It's a lot of it. It depends on... I individualize. So if you come to me with a question, I'm not going to try and cookie cut it. And I will rely on my wealth of experience and all the arm angles and everyone that I've spoken to. And I will try to find a fix for whatever it is that you're dealing with. But I will never try to just throw this is my philosophy on someone. Sure, we are going to throw strikes.
Yeah.
Okay. There's certain things that I won't do, like... If I have a reliever come in and they get him out of a massive situation, they're never going to be, unless you need that guy to cover three innings, He's never going to have the same adrenaline he had getting out of
it. Have you heard how much I say that now?
No.
Because Smoltz said it during the World Series.
Did he?
He said that was an adrenaline dump. Don't bring him back. And I was like, that's what Moylan said last playoffs. And now I say it everywhere.
Yeah.
Like we were doing the live streams, and it's like I watch for it, and it's pretty big. Gallen got out of a huge jam. He kept his he didn't scream and yell off the mound. I thought he did. But he had no hitter going, so you have to bring him back out.
Right.
But then we were like, that like was that an adrenaline? Like that was a big moment.
It's huge.
He did stay composed, but
starters are different though too. And the other thing that frustrates me is when you have say something happens in the second inning and you got to take your starter out. You don't bring your long guy in to just warm up and get. You bring a reliever in to get out of that inning and have your long guy start throwing from the minute that inning starts, so that he's ready to go. You cannot expect a guy who's never done it before to come out and just be ready to go. There's certain philosophies I'll bring in, but I won't cookie cutter.
When you were asking questions as a pitcher to a pitching coach, how much, like, reading batters, working with a catcher, sequencing, how much of that does a pitching coach help, or do you just talk to other pitchers and catchers and all that?
Other pitchers. Roger McDowell was huge for me early on because he was more of a sinker slider guy. He taught me just to relax. I was so raw out of the WBC, had pitched in club ball, and then went to AAA, and then went to the big leagues. So everything was so brand new that I had to listen to everyone.
Yeah.
I was asking as many questions as I possibly could. Roger McDowell was incredible. The 80% thing was the thing that got me. He said, don't ever throw your slider more than 80% until you can find the location, and then you ramp up from that point. Otherwise, you're just going to be ripping on the... Because it moves so much. If I wasted two sliders in a bat, I was done. I didn't have good enough stuff to be able to just be able to funnel a couple of sliders and then come back with my 90 mile an hour sinker. It just didn't work. So
would your slider be a sweeper?
Yes.
Today?
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on the new name?
I just think it's a name. I think, sure, we can separate them now. But
I guess I don't have a problem with the name as much as I have a problem with every pitcher thinking they can throw it.
Right. That's what
it got watered down.
Measurables have now been able to, you can just get the spin that names it what you want it to be named, because it's all read automatically. Yeah. Whereas when I'm looking, I can see that based on the... I don't look at spin, I look at the movement, and I judge based on movement. Analytics bases on spin.
I just think if you throw it, like you said, two in at bat, there's too many pitchers coming up that, oh, we got a sweeper at 78 miles per hour.
78% of the time.
And you throw it a lot, and a righty eventually just crushes it.
Yeah. Well, you see it too much.
Yeah. Because too many guys threw it last couple years. And then, like, it was got watered down. My opinion is it got watered down, and eventually it's going to fade. And then it's like the splitter. Not everyone throws it, because if you throw a bad one, it gets hung. So there's minimal guys that throw a nice splitter. I think the slow sweeping slider is going to go back to a smaller group of people that master it.
I will take you back to when I first came, sinkers and sliders were sexy. Then we went to four seams and curveballs.
Yeah.
And now it's gone back to sinkers and sliders. So I just think it just goes in like the evolution.
This blitzball goes in those evolutions.
Now this is the pitch of the tournament.
Now it's the arm down drop pitch. BB1, no one had a slider. Mm-hmm. Everyone was just trying to throw in the zone. And it was like fastballs with movement and looping curves. BB3, no curveballs at all. They went completely away. And everyone threw sliders and like over in two seams, not that roller coaster. Mm-hmm. But everyone saw what Drew Davis did last one. Now that everyone has that,
right?
But the looping curves are back. Now they work again.
Well, you can't elevate those pitches. That's the beauty of it.
Yes,
you cannot get under it and elevate.
Unless you get that backspin.
But you got to be able to control it. Yeah. What time we got?
I don't know.
We got action. We're 30 minutes, yo.
Did we miss anything, Matt? Do you want to hop on mic again?
All right. You want me to say anything that you would have said? Just say, any
questions you didn't answer, we'll do it. Yeah, Maddie has a bunch of questions on here, and we will just push them to the next episode.
Is there anything I can answer right now?
Number 9 is the goof and gaff. Oh, we have a goof and gaff question, number 9. So, honored to have my own section, that's Landon M., and his girlfriend or wife, who actually was the originator of it, he's taking credit. If your life was turned into a TV show, what would the theme song be?
That clown, just the clown theme noise. Exactly.
My high school hockey team used to make the other team warm up to that.
My life is a joke.
Your life is pretty interesting. When are you writing a book? The people.
It's underway. Okay. It's just doesn't have a finish. I don't know how it ends.
Oh, I mean, you don't gotta die.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm gonna die. Yes. But we don't know how it ends professionally. Like, I don't know where I'm going.
You could be working for 30 more years.
I am going to be working for another.
Just write two books.
I don't want two books. It's going to be one and done. You don't need two books. I have an interesting life that is going to be really, really.
So the book is your retirement announcement?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be fun. And there's a lot in there that I've given him that I'm going to have to filter out.
Jake's got a lot of titles for his autobiography planned out already. Putting from the Rough. Has been his leader since I've known him.
Putting from the Rough.
Since like 19 years old. He's a Putting from the Rough. It's my autobiography. What? Yeah, he's writing it. Yeah. He's writing how he texts. No one will understand it.
I have a mate who doesn't text. He'll just talk into it and never fixes any edits. So we have a group text. It's actually the manager of the Aces. We have a group text amongst all the Aces guys, and we spend 30% of the time trying to work out what the hell he meant.
Nicky Cast sends you voice memos, so they get eliminated. He doesn't even do voice to text.
Right.
Just a voice memo that you have to play and listen to. It's like you're held hostage by it. I don't want to listen to this. Use text so I can read it.
Yeah.
That's weird. And my dad does Siri like that. But he uses it like a voicemail. So I'll get a text and it's like, "Hey, Jim, Dad here." I'm like, "This is a weird text."
That's such an old man. I love it when people sign off their text messages. Name doesn't come up at the top.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask him a question like, "Hey, when are you going to be home?" And I'll just, "Hey, Jim." I'm like, it's not voicemail. Love you, Dad. All right, we got to get back to it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate it. Thanks for hopping in, kicking Maddie out. Of course. He was desperate to get out of there.
Sorry, Maddie.
You like Pops, the cereal?
Is that the yellow stuff?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The yellow little rocks?
Yeah, okay. I don't think so. I'd much rather Fruit Loops.
What about cutting them together?
Oh, no, you don't mix.
You don't mix cereals ever?
No.
Oh, I'm a always mix.
No, I mix my ice creams.
That's good. Oh, goodbye.